This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
And we are coming to you live from the Quicken Loans Studios, National Mortgage Lender, Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. It's the Ken Carmen Show on CBS Sports Radio, 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Send the tweets, send them hot at Ken Carmen, C-A-R-M-A-N, 40 minutes away from week 12 around the NFL. Only 40 minutes away. Yesterday was to be a coronation. It's become fun now, and at the end of this, I guess I should thank him. But yesterday, and I mean yesterday as in Saturday, relax, it was supposed to be a coronation. Michigan came into Ohio State. They were 10-1, the same record as the Ohio State Buckeyes, but came with so much more momentum. Everything had been going Michigan's way. The revenge tour was there. The ass-kicking week after week that continued had people in awe of Michigan, had people in awe of what they were doing offensively, defensively, the leadership that they had had. Guys like Chase Winovich, guys like Devin Gill, guys like Devin Bush, guys like Josh Metellus going right after one after another, guys who were really, really excited to be a part of the resurgence of Michigan football. The revenge tour had started. They kicked the hell out of Wisconsin. They beat the brakes off of Michigan State. They embarrassed Penn State at home doing the "We Are" chant. And here it was. Final week of the season. Ohio State, Michigan. And every single moment, every single thing that could possibly happen leading up to that week said Michigan would win that game and might even win that game by multiple touchdowns. Now, I understand it's the game. It's the biggest rivalry in college football. It's supposed to be close, and it has been close, this, that, and the other, the whole thing. Got it. But what transpired yesterday, and I say this with the utmost sincerity, you are 0-4 now against Ohio State. You have become the John Cooper of Michigan. Great season, 10-2. You lost against Ohio State. Great season, 10-2. Shea Patterson was great. You lost against Ohio State. You're not going to the Big Ten Championship. You are not going to the college football playoff. What have you done for your season? For the regular fan, for history, yeah, you took a great step. What did your season do? Wasted it. Forget about the coronation. I'm going to hold your feet to the fire right now, Jim. Because what's happened? What's gone on over this last year? You're supposed to be one of the best coaches in college football. You were a guy who we were excited about at Stanford. You were a guy who we were excited about, obviously, coming from San Francisco. You were a guy we were excited about going to Michigan because you were going to set the standard. You were going to put it right back. It was no longer just going to be Ohio State because you can't count on everybody else. Remember, when you got there, Penn State wasn't Penn State yet. They were still going through that nastiness. Michigan State was an okay football team that could be a competitive group every now and then, but people don't take them seriously. I could say the same thing about Wisconsin, even though they had a bit of a down year this year. Always well coached. You can't go wrong with a great Wisconsin offensive lineman. They're like craftsman hand tools. They never break on you. And you thought for a moment that here was Michigan again because of all those schools, no one could take them seriously. And it always cost Ohio State. And I told Buckeye fans for years, you need Michigan to be good. And this is the sterling example of it. Because Ohio State fan didn't want to hear it. You need Michigan to be good. That game needs to mean something. And Michigan coming into that game at 7-4, like they were with Rich Rodriguez or Brady Hoke, that isn't going to be what's best for business. But Michigan was supposed to win this year and was supposed to make a new 10 years war, even though Jim Harbaugh was 3 in the hole and you had everything going for you. OSU's defense was absolutely atrocious going into that game. They gave up 51 against Maryland the week before. And there's a key there against Maryland the week before. They won by 5 against Nebraska. Another key against Nebraska. They only won by 5. They had 16 first half rushing yards against Michigan State. The offense was stagnant. The offensive line was terrible. The defense was basically non-existent. They were getting called out for not having heart. Eddie George was saying that things were dysfunctional. The Heisman Trophy winner, Eddie George, the guy who was one of the pillars of Ohio State football history, says that this team was dysfunctional. Just a few weeks ago, Urban Meyer's future was in question. Health-wise, obviously the problems that he was having with Gene Smith, we remember that press conference where Urban looked none too pleased about that. The disgustingness of what happened with the entire Zach Smith scandal. Everything pointed towards Michigan. I don't know how else it could have been better, unless the game was up at the Big House. That's the only thing maybe that could have been better for that. Jim Harbaugh came into this game. Friends, he had a chance to bury Ohio State and bury Urban Meyer to change the way people think about Ohio State football, to change the way that people think about Urban Meyer, and to possibly where the rumors were swirling and Urban Meyer's tenure at Ohio State. They went down to Ohio State. Michigan lost, and not just lost, they gave up 62 points and lost by 3 touchdowns to a team where, let's go over that again, shall we? When I mentioned that Nebraska win by only 5, when I mentioned a 52-51 overtime win against Maryland and 16 rushing yards total in the first half against Michigan State, this was a team that maybe you could give me an argument against Penn State earlier this season. Maybe you could, but I really think that that was more Penn State shooting themselves in the foot. Hickey's a Penn State alum. Maybe he'll agree or disagree. We'll find out. This was a team that had done nothing but all year live on their own talent. Eddie George wasn't wrong. The guys who were the alums, the 2002 National Championship players, the 2014 National Championship players, those guys weren't wrong. That's why there were some Ohio State fans, and a good bunch of them, especially during the Maryland game, who were pretty quick to think, boy, Ryan Day would look good. Matt Campbell would look real, real good from Iowa State. How's he doing over there? I don't know, how much money would it off to get him? We got 4 billionaire boosters. How much money do you think it would cost for Matt Campbell? Boy, we got the pick of the litter over here. Who could we get? Looks like Urban's out. Michigan throughout the year was all heart. They had talent. They weren't just beating teams, they were destroying teams. Ohio State went out and got their asses kicked on the road against a sub-500 Purdue football team. Maybe they're 500. I know they won the old Oaken Bucket the other day. Maybe they're 500. You got your asses kicked by a so-so Purdue football team. And they followed that up after the bye week. Thought that they'd kill Nebraska. They won by 5. They lived all year without heart. And then for one game on Saturday, a group of talent that was basically non-existent as a team, decided to be a bunch of killers. And they reminded Michigan, really they reminded Jim Harbaugh, just who they are. And it's the same old story, Jimbo. It's the same old story of what it was in the AFC Championship game with the Colts. It's the same old story of what it was in the Super Bowl with the 49ers against your brother. And it's the same old story of what it is right now against Urban Meyer. Even in his worst season so far, he's been better than you. You were supposed to change this. It was supposed to be a coronation. I brought this up in its own tease. On Saturday, Jim Harbaugh was supposed to be King James after that. This turned into Tsar Nicholas. It was a bloodbath. Athletes took over, and they played with confidence. They played with a killer instinct for the first time ever. But I can thank Jim Harbaugh. Ohio State fans should thank Jim Harbaugh, should thank Michigan. Because, again, it was right. You needed Michigan to be good. Now, we've changed the conversation about the college football playoff. Before, Ohio State was winning these games with no heart, and the committee knew it. They were winning games. They were following under teams like Washington State, UCF. There were teams that were much better when it came to heart, when you knew that there was a desire. And the Ohio State Buckeyes were still 10-1, and you're down to 10th in the college football playoff? And if you won, you had to look good doing it. Boy, did they look good. And for Jim Harbaugh, you're back to the drawing board. And now everything, every nasty comment that was said before, it all becomes true again. When's it going to be your year? When are you going to pay up on it? When are you going to do what it is? Because if you're going to be at a high standard and a high salary, then I'm going to hold you to a high standard. It is not acceptable for Michigan football to not be in a playoff for 4 years with Jim Harbaugh. When are you going to get your quarterback? You finally got your quarterback. Now that excuse is gone. When are you going to get your defense? You finally got your defense. When is that excuse gone? Ohio State had their head coach get fired by their athletic director just a couple of months after the school president said that they'd fire the school president before they fired the head coach. They went through a 6-6 year with a talented coach like Luke Fickell, had Urban Meyer, didn't miss a beat other than a bowl ban. You have been stuck, with the exception of one Sugar Bowl run, you have been stuck in the middle of a desert for going on 15 years now, with the exception of a couple of good games. I know, Lloyd Carr, 2006, got it. It has to be more. If you're going to play big boy football, then that has to be the standard. Because for Ohio State, if they don't make the college football playoff, and there's still a strong possibility they won't, it's a disappointment for Ohio State fans. If they lose next week to Northwestern, and there is a possibility they could do that, they go right back to just being what they were before, which was a lifeless team that was built on talent. Northwestern has fought a lot of teams before. I have no idea what Northwestern's going to be. They're a very dangerous group. They went out and played Notre Dame tough, but they lost to Akron at the beginning of the year. Akron hadn't beaten a Big Ten team in over 100 years, literally. So I have no idea what's going to happen, but still, that's a disappointment for them. This is supposed to be a step up. This should be frustrating. And everything that was said before ends up being true. The shirtless catch, the staying over at recruits' houses. Before, that's colorful. If you win, that's a colorful story. Now it's just weird. The pleats in your pants, the whole thing about the family, who's got it better than us, the whole weird thing. It's just weird. Until you beat Ohio State, until you do what you were brought there to do, that's a disappointment. That's a failure with a capital F. And I understand, yep, they could go right back to where they were with Brady Hoke, which was a joke. They could be like Rich Rodriguez, where Rich Rodriguez would walk around in that great big blue jumpsuit, and he looked like a guy who was picking up your garbage. But I wish I wouldn't say that, because that's an insult to garbage men, because they do good work. Rich Rodriguez went out and got his ass kicked. I know, without Jim Harbaugh, you can go right back to hell. So I'm not saying to fire Jim Harbaugh, quite on the contrary. I just want to know, if not this year, when? Because Urban, even in his worst year, beat you by 3 touchdowns. And again, I mean this wholeheartedly. You're 0-4. You've put together great seasons now. You're Ohio State's John Cooper. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Coming up next, you have to understand Cleveland's relationship with LeBron. It's complicated. And also, this right here is why 4 teams is better than 8, folks. It's Ken Carmen on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
This is the Ken Carmen Show.
855-212-4CBS. I want to get to the phones here in a second. I want to get to John in Detroit just here in a moment. Hickey had brought something to my attention about realignment. Because he's like, ah, you know, they got to realign these divisions. You can't have Northwestern being the best team out of the West. Well, you know what? Wisconsin's got to pick up their act. And, teams are allowed to have a down year. I understand that. But what's Iowa? Kirk Ferentz does a good job. And I always say, hey, you better be careful wanting Kirk Ferentz to be fired. Iowa's 5-4 in the conference. You have no business being 5-4. Nebraska is not always going to be 3-6 in conference play. Minnesota, I like P.J. Fleck. I know that there's people who absolutely hate his guts. I like P.J. Fleck a lot. I think that probably there's a waste of time going on with Lovie Smith in Illinois, but I hope that Minnesota's going to be better. Minnesota's doing it right because they're recruiting Ohio State kids that Michigan State used to get, that are Ohio kids and Michigan kids who State used to get, and now they're starting to poach a couple of them. If they're able to coach him up, they should be a good team. So I think this is more of an anomaly this year, Hickey. You know, you're bringing up, man, Northwestern, because it's going to hurt Ohio State. Oklahoma, Texas is still Texas in a lot of people's mind. And the committee members are older. They're still those guys. So Texas, even though they've had some real down years, and this is what I love about there only being four teams. Now Tom Herman has to go out and win a game, and it would only help his arch nemesis. He'd win the Big 12 championship. Everybody would be excited, but it's all going to help his arch nemesis. He hates Ohio State. He hates Urban Meyer. God knows what he would think of Zach Smith. And Zach Smith is obviously still pro-Ohio State, even through all this, if you're judging by his Twitter. That's what makes it beautiful. And I just brought up the biggest problem that you have football-wise. Robbie, Hickey, and you guys both know, you guys are both in New York, is Rutgers, do they have great academics?
It's so-so. It's middle of the road for Big Ten, I would say.
Really?
Yeah, so, I mean, Hickey and I are both Big Ten guys. I would say it's middle of the road.
All right, say if I had, like, just a regular old 3.0 in high school, 3.0 GPA, could I get into Rutgers?
Yeah, I would say so. I mean,
wow, really? I thought that was, like, a really good school. Say, what would you say?
It's a lot of in-state kids going for cheap.
Wow, I thought it was, like, a really good school.
No, it is. It is a really good school. It's a really, really, really good school.
But the academics are so-so.
Yeah, it's so-so. Like I said, it's middle of the road.
Jeez, because I always used to kind of defend it and kind of be like, you know, Rutgers is a pretty good academic school. God, they have no business being in the Big Ten. Everybody goes, why can't they bring back the old Schiano years? They were in the Big East. The Big East was okay at football back in the day. They had some good football teams, but they weren't the Big Ten. They'd never been the Big Ten. When Miami was really cooking, maybe, yeah. But man, Rutgers, and you do that only for TV purposes, you really won't have a problem. That's the one that's dragging you down. Chris Ash is doing everything he can. You're 1-11, you're at Rutgers. You're back to being the Rutgers that we knew when we were kids. And I thought that these teams, a couple of these ones, Maryland going through their year, good God, DJ Durkin with the poor kid who passed away, and you want to bring that idiot back? Showing guys videos of guys getting drills in their eyeballs where you're trying to eat. This isn't Full Metal Jacket, man. This is college football, you psycho. And you got that team where Matt Canada's actually done a pretty decent job. You had that team who came in with heart. They took Ohio State to the hilt. They took them to overtime and lost when they were just trying to go for it. I can't even hate a team for trying to go for it to get the win. Like, that was the difference going into this game on Saturday. Ohio State played with zero heart throughout the entire season. Nick Bosa got hurt early, said, I got to get out of here, which I thought was a great move because you don't end up kind of like what's going on in Houston. You don't end up like anything like that, and you don't end up being the missing link. And boy, it seemed like they needed him. They had not played with heart all year, and then all of a sudden show up, play exceptionally well against Michigan. And I just keep wondering, if it wasn't this year, when's it going to be? How many excuses do I sit here and make for Jim Harbaugh? Because I understand, and a Michigan fan, and we're about to take one here in a second, a Michigan fan's got to be in just the biggest purgatory, frustrated purgatory that you can find. You can't fire this man. You're a much better football team than where you've been, but you're 0-4, and you just caught 0-4 against Urban Meyer, and you just cost yourself a chance to go to the playoffs. Like, even if you would have went to Alabama, like, there were Ohio State fans. I'm in Ohio. There's Ohio State fans, and we'll get these calls this week. They don't want to go to the playoffs because they don't want to look bad against Alabama. I still think that's a minority. How excited would you be if you were a Michigan fan to go get your ass kicked against Alabama in the playoff? I think a lot of guys would sign up for it right now because you would have beaten Ohio State. Let me get to John in Detroit. John, you're first up on CBS Sports Radio. John, let me ask you this question. It's loaded. If you would have beaten Ohio State on Saturday, how excited would you have been to go to the National College Football Playoff and more than likely get your head kicked in against Alabama?
Well, I can actually tell you how I feel about that because I'm actually a Notre Dame fan, and I watched Alabama kick our head in a few seasons ago. So I had a good weekend, but I actually know what's coming down the pike for probably my team here in a few weeks and probably somebody else's squad as well. Look, Alabama's a machine. The reason I actually called in is actually not being so much a Spartan or a Wolverine fan. I'm just outside of Detroit, about a half hour from Ann Arbor, actually.
Where at?
I'm actually in a city called Plymouth. It's about halfway between Detroit and Ann Arbor, where M14 turns into 96.
I got a buddy from Plymouth. I don't mean to make it sound like Tradio, but I've been to Plymouth, Michigan. Go right on ahead, bud.
No problem there. But so, you know, the thing is, I think one dirty little secret is most years, Mark D'Antonio is the better football coach in this state than Jim Harbaugh has been.
I agree.
And when you look at it, you know, this year, the teams that Michigan had trouble with, two of them that beat him and one that they beat by 3 points, are the three squads that finished the year in the top 25, the Irish, the Buckeyes, and the Northwestern Wildcats. And then, you know, you also look at it, those are squads that are almost unquestionably coached by very good coaches. Jim Harbaugh has trouble with that. When the man on the other sideline can game plan better than he can, he runs into issues. Brian Kelly is a little bit better. Pat Fitzgerald, given the talent that Northwestern has, unbelievable job he does there year in and year out. And look at the issues he gave Michigan. They had to have a 17-point comeback in the second half, which, hey, that's on them. They did what they had to do. And then obviously what Urban Meyer did, carving them up like a second turkey for Thanksgiving this weekend. And then on the other side of that, why does Urban Meyer keep winning? Well, look at what happened with him. You know, when he goes up against the coaches who are better, Mark D'Antonio, he found a way to out-scheme them with a team that was underperforming. Scott Frost, I think once his recruiting classes get in there, Nebraska's going to be a very good coach. Look what he did at UCF.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they hung with Ohio State, but Urban Meyer found a way to beat them as well. And then Jim Harbaugh, he's just better than Jim Harbaugh. And the thing is, what I'm really getting sick of when I listen to local radio driving around is all the excuses. Because first, it was, oh, well, Jim Harbaugh's got to get his recruiting class in. And then last year, when he had 3 years in and his kids were juniors and sophomores, oh, well, now he's got to get his own quarterback in. And then now I've already heard a couple calls on local radio. Oh, well, Shea Patterson was only here for 1 year. He didn't really have time to learn the system. People, the simple fact of the matter is, in the college ranks, outside of Andrew Luck, which he caught lightning in a bottle, a generational college talent, and pretty good NFL talent as well, Jim Harbaugh was fantastic when he had that. And then he was like a flash in the pan in the NFL. Again, a lot of success, but would he have sustained it? I don't think anybody knows. But outside of Andrew Luck in college, when he got the most important position locked down for him, the man's pretty much been selling khakis. And you know, as far as the hygiene scale, I hear about him, and it just reminds me of the scene in Bull Durham. When Crash is talking to Nucleus and he holds up the shower shoe, when you win 20 in the show,
yes,
you can let the fungus grow all over your shower
yep.
shoe, and the press will call you colorful. Until you do, you're just dirty. And Jim, it's time to stop playing shirtless catch. And here's the thing. Maybe it's time to stop taking the team to Paris and to Rome and to wherever else and try and take the team to Indianapolis. And you'll be on that. Because really, you're getting paid a whole lot of money, and you're producing what I think most Michigan fans, if they're honest, would say are very mediocre results. You know, because the goal was to win championships. And so far, Ohio State has spanked you twice, won by double digits one time, and there was one close game. Michigan State, until this year, has pretty well had your number. And again, have you done that well against the Irish? Those are your biggest rivals. You can go out and beat Purdue and Indiana and Illinois all you want. What people care about is how many championships and how many trophies you bring into Schembechler Hall, and the answer so far is none. Again, this year, both Big Ten and national. And you know how many good teams are you beating? And again, this year, the answer is zero. Jim, you're getting paid a ton of money, and you're messing the bed every time something's expected of you. And you know what? It's either time to start producing, or stop acting like an idiot at the very least, because you're just embarrassing yourself and the block M you roll around with on your head.
John, I got to let you go, and I thank you for the call.
I appreciate the time, brother. Thanks for letting
Thank
me know. You have a great night.
Very much for the call. I mean, wow. Everything. Basically spot on. Now, I'll take John Harbaugh over a lot of things, but this one, you got to go back to where it's safe. I would want John Harbaugh to go back to where it's safe. Get yourself a good quarterback, go back to the NFL. But for Michigan fans around John, talking about John the caller, there's nothing else you can do except make excuses. You know you can't fire him. You know you can't fire him. I know you're mad, and I know that it was embarrassing, and it was. All those things are true. You were completely outplayed, completely outcoached. The whole thing was just bad on Saturday. You can't fire the guy. You can't risk going back to the straight hell of what it was before. But you can't get over the hump. So the only thing you have left is to hope that some way, somehow, Ohio State trips over themselves. Except this was the best year. You have Jim Harbaugh looking as good as possibly could be going into that football game. Urban Meyer is clutching himself, and this is going to be taken in jest. Obviously, it's a serious issue. You got brain cyst going on where he's holding on to his head and holding on to his chest like he is Mr. Sanford over there. That's how ugly it looked. They're showing him on the sideline after every negative play against Maryland. And you couldn't get over the hump there? Now, Mark D'Antonio, I think that he's a good game planner. I know that they've had some lean times here over the last couple of years. D'Antonio's a good game planner. I think that he's a very good coach. He's a very good schemer. Those guys who have success in that conference, they have to be. Urban can out-recruit them, and you've seen that throughout this season. They haven't won on heart except for this last game against Michigan. You had a little bit of better talent, and you won that game on heart. And for Michigan fan, the only thing you have left is to comfort yourself whatsoever are excuses, because everything else are just hard, cold truths, and you can't fire the guy either. 855-212-4CBS. Coming up next, week 12 around the NFL. And remember, our relationship with LeBron here in Cleveland is complicated, and I think some of you folks have forgotten that.
This is the Ken Carmen Show.
855-212-4CBS. That is the toll-free line sponsored by Geico. Here's a quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you can save 50% or more on car insurance. Boy, it was a big day on Wednesday night. I know it's been a while since it, but I'm from Cleveland, and I said this on Thursday. Brian McKeon was with me, but no one else was listening because there was a whole lot of live sports going on. Let's be serious with each other. I know we got some phones, and I know we got week 12 around the NFL to get to here, so we'll try to make this short and sweet. There's a lot of people in Cleveland who still appreciate LeBron James. It's a complicated relationship because a lot of people, when you're from Northeast Ohio, to have the sports teams that the sports teams have had, that the fans have had here, and we include Ohio State in this, you wear that as a badge of honor. And at times, even with the failings, especially with the three Cleveland sports teams, you wear that as a badge of honor. Now, sometimes I think that some people have got addicted to that struggle. 2016 was a wonderful time. But I think that for a lot of people, they are Cavs fans first. They were Cavs fans first. And then LeBron James came along, and this made things very complicated. Because LeBron is a different type of athlete. LeBron is, Jordan was the guy who was the icon that promoted a brand. LeBron was the first guy who did the same thing, was as good in that category, and became the enlightened modern athlete that he is. The man who can do what LeBron does. The guy who can be the self-promoting athlete of what LeBron is. The guy who can be the self-empowered athlete of what he is. And has made things easier for other guys trying to do the same thing. Kevin Durant, other NBA players will do it. I think Major League Baseball players, they've been doing it for quite a while, but some of the bigger names, it's a little bit easier to move and establish brands in some other places because of what LeBron James has done. And that makes things messy. The first time LeBron did it, he was young. It was a silly way to do things. And a lot of people say it was the way that he did it. They understand that he did it. I think it was both. Because you know what I know. The player of the generation is LeBron James. Whether or not you feel that Michael's better or he's better, I don't think that's part of the conversation I'm trying to have right now. We can have our conversation about that some other time. But the player of this generation is LeBron. Cleveland sports fans are, by and large, smart sports fans. And nobody knows an historical moment, considering some of the past, nobody knows an historical moment quite like a sports fan. They know when what they're seeing is greatness. They know when what they're seeing is going to make history. And it makes it that much more complicated that you finally get this player that is above all others, that takes a takes a franchise and transforms it like none other, and you have to share him with other fan bases. When LeBron James is all done with playing basketball, Cleveland Cavalier fans, fans in Northeast Ohio, will have to share his greatness with Miami and quite possibly LA by the time this is all said and done. They'll have to share his greatness over that time. Three championships shared among two separate fan bases. Maybe a fourth championship. We'll see how Golden State ends up. Shared among three different fan bases. That's a very difficult thing to juggle. For a lot of fan bases, for LA, Kobe, always a Laker. Chicago, Michael, always a Bull. For Cleveland, where they were never really relevant from that national scale, a couple of good teams, but like LeBron, nowhere near. This is the greatness that we see, and now we have to share that greatness. That's why, and I'll tell you this, over even just a few weeks, and it's still very much in its infancy, and I don't mean to get too crazy about anything whatsoever, so many people latch on to Baker Mayfield because they feel he can be special because, one, they haven't seen a quarterback play here that's been anywhere near that good since Bernie Kosar, and most people talking about Baker Mayfield weren't even born when Bernie Kosar was playing. Second of all, with the way the NFL is structured, it's very unlikely he'll end his career somewhere else. If he's very, very good, he'll be with the Cleveland Browns for his entire career. That's still what the NFL has. If you have a quarterback, which is the most important position, by and large, and we've seen some things change, obviously. But unless you have the heir apparent right behind that guy, you're not going to lose that quarterback. You're not going to lose that franchise player. So for a lot of Cleveland fans, though, because of what's gone on over the last umpteen years now with LeBron, they've been put in one category where it hasn't been that way. They've been put in another category where it hasn't been that way. By and large, I think a lot of fans know that LeBron is special and thank LeBron for being the man who spearheaded what happened in 2016, which isn't just a championship, but the most improbable comeback in possibly all of sports history when they come back from 3-1 down against the team of the decade in the Golden State Warriors. And by and large, most Cleveland fans appreciate that and will always respect that. But I tell you this, back on Wednesday, a standing ovation for LeBron James was twofold. One, because of the reasons I just told you. The other one is so the national media gets off their ass. I love Doris Burke. What Doris Burke said the other day about how she thought Cleveland didn't give her enough, didn't give LeBron enough of an ovation, was absolutely silly. Considering what happened in 2010, considering the phone calls that I take every single day, which are, I believe, in the minority, considering the emails that I get every day, which I believe are in the minority anytime we talk about LeBron James, he's lucky he got that much of an ovation. But Cleveland fans know history better than a lot of fan bases out there. They understand that someday in 2026, there'll be the 10-year anniversary, there will be the 20-year anniversary, there will be the 30 and the 40-year anniversary, and by that time, what was accomplished will probably be in the annals of history as one of the most historic comebacks ever in sports. Over a team that could very well win the championship again this year, and depending on what Kevin Durant wants to do, win a championship again next year, which would make that an unbelievable run for the Golden State Warriors, and the one team that's in the middle of that is LeBron. In any fan base, from Timbuktu to Portland, Maine to Portland, Oregon, for that matter, could always know that those types of teams, any championship team, especially with one with a history where they hadn't won a championship in a city in 52 years, in over a generation, could understand that you want to remember them for being beloved, for being champions, and for their greatness. So in 2026 and 36 and 46, they want to be able to love J.R. Smith when he comes back for the reunion and love Kyrie Irving if he isn't somewhere living off the grid in Arizona and love Kevin Love and love Ty Lue and love Matthew Dellavedova and so on and so forth. And that certainly includes LeBron James. You can't make a comparison without LeBron James or describe the relationship with LeBron James without making the analogy about girlfriends. That's because there's that much love. He's from here. He was born here. We don't know if he'll die here, but he's still a Northeast Ohioan. Whether we like it or not, he's still done a hell of a lot. But it is, just like a lot of our relationships, very, very complicated. But at the end, We want to remember it for its very best. Are we ready for week 12 around the league? We got to go quick, Hickey.
We'll make it very quick.
Let's go, baby.
Bills 24, Jags 21, Josh Allen gets his revenge over Jalen Ramsey.
Good for Josh Allen. Jalen Ramsey's a good football player. A couple of people on Twitter took it the wrong way. They need to shut up. The Jacksonville Jaguars are absolute garbage. And now I got the head coach in the crosshairs, and I hate to say because I love Tom Coughlin so much, there's Tom Coughlin in the crosshairs as well. That's a horrible loss. It's been a horrible season by the Jaguars. Great job by Josh Allen. I don't care about how many passing yards he didn't have today. Next.
Baker Mayfield, 4 touchdown passes. Browns get revenge on Hugh Jackson, 35-20 over the Bengals.
They've won 2 in a row. They're breaking all the terrible streaks. I don't wish that level of football on anybody. I do know this. Hugh Jackson is not that good of a head coach, and Baker Mayfield is showing the world. So if you want to believe that, Jason Locke and Ford down in Cincinnati, fans, I'm telling you, I'm praying for you, because that is not a good sign. And Mike Brown has proven it time and time again. He really doesn't care what you think down there. Next.
Sony Michel, 133 yards on the ground. Pats to move to 4-0 when he rushes for over 100 yards. 27-13 over the Jets.
Wow, he beat the Patriots. The Patriots beat the Jets. What else is new? Next.
Eagles come back from 19-3, beat the Giants 25-22.
You're still alive. Get your head out of your ass and start to play like a defending Super Bowl champion. Next.
Jameis Winston continues up and down play, throws for 2 touchdowns, Buccaneers 27, 49ers 9.
In the words of Hank Stram, he could have went out there and pooped it, and they still would have won that football game. The 49ers are garbage. They have no leadership because their guy's hurt, and obviously this whole Reuben Foster situation is a mess. Next.
Russell Wilson, 339 yards, 2 touchdowns as the Seahawks hand the Panthers their first home loss of the year, 30-27.
There's really good quarterbacks, and this man just proved he is elite. Russell Wilson is elite because he keeps that team's head above water. They are going through significant changes in Seattle, and I have no idea what the Panthers are. You've dropped a couple in a row. You are an enigma in this league. Next.
Lamar Jackson totals 2 touchdowns, Ravens 34, Raiders 17.
I love what you do for me, my friend, but I probably got to go back to Flacco. Next.
Phillip Rivers, 28 of 29, throws 3 touchdowns as the Chargers beat the Cardinals 45-10.
The game you obviously had to have after that disappointing loss that you had just last week. The Chargers, even though nobody loves them, I do. I love Phillip Rivers. This team's going to the playoffs. They got a little momentum behind them. Next.
Broncos defeat the Steelers 24-17 as Big Ben throws a costly interception in the end zone to seal the game for the Broncos.
I'll say this again because I said it earlier in the show. Ben Roethlisberger is the dumbest legend I've ever seen on a football field. And again, he makes plays, and I'm so surprised somebody doesn't have to walk behind him and tell him when to breathe in and breathe out. The Broncos, hey, I guess Vance Joseph isn't so terrible, huh? They're 5-6, and the worst part of their schedule is behind them. Next.
Andrew Luck, 343 yards, 3 touchdowns. Colts come from 10 down in the fourth quarter. 5 in a row now, 27-24 of the Dolphins.
Those were some sad-ass play calls at the end in the fourth quarter with Adam Gase. Hickey, you're a Colts fan, by the way?
Oh, yeah. Great
team. I thought that was a playoff team in 2019. You might be getting ready for playoffs a little bit sooner than we thought, buddy boy. Next!
Couldn't agree more. And finally, Vikings defeat the Packers 24-17 in Sunday Night Football. Kirk Cousins, 3 touchdowns.
It can't all be Mike McCarthy's fault. But a lot of it's probably Mike McCarthy's fault. Maybe his voice just gone sour with that football team. But, hey, Aaron Rodgers, 35, 36 years old. And that's a team, you look around that roster, especially with a couple of new guys they have on that defense, they're going through kind of the same thing Russell Wilson is, except Russell Wilson's still 30. He's not 36. And things change. Aaron Rodgers has been having some serious injuries lately. There's a lot of pressure on him to get back to the Super Bowl, to win another Super Bowl before it's over. We see this with Eli Manning. They can't all age like Drew Brees and Tom Brady. The Vikings got themselves a big one. Like the leadership that they showed. Love Mike Zimmer. You know how I like the Vikings, my friend. Glad they got to 6-4-1. Glad you guys joined me tonight. Big thanks to all you for listening. Big thanks to my guys back in New York. Hick, Brian, Robbie Rosenhaus. I'm Ken Carmen. I'm back next week. Have a wonderful week until then, my friends.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Find new customers on a platform that's here to stay. With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising your business on TikTok, now is the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detecttheSOS.com to learn more.